A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
More afternoon news and in-depth coverage with Doug Wright on KSL News Radio.
Thanks so much for joining us on the program today. It's always a fun part of doing a show here on KSL where you get to know so many great people. We just talked with Luz Escamilla. We're going to talk with one of our former state legislators and somebody who's been a deputy chief of staff for Mayor Biskupski. David Litvak will join us in a few moments. We'll talk with Congressman Chris Stewart toward the end of the program. One of our friends and colleagues from ABC News will be joining us, Daria Albinger. We're going to talk about, this is real heavy stuff. We're going to get into the newest additions to the Toy Hall of Fame. We get into the big stuff, but I'm really looking forward to get to know the folks that have just joined me here in our KSL studios, Jeff and Sally Birmingham. And to both of you, first of all, welcome. Thank you for joining us here in studio. It's always fun to talk face-to-face. Welcome.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Doug. Thanks for having
Thank
us.
Thank you.
Sally, good to have you here with us as well. I mentioned that we'd go back to the beginning of creation and bring everybody forward. But how about if we just go back and get a little background on both of you? And maybe I can throw it to you first, Jeff. What has led you to this point where you have declared your candidacy for governor of the great state of Utah?
Yeah, it's an exciting story. I'm an entrepreneur, Doug. I've been in the building the economy for the last 10 or 20 years here in Utah. Sally and I met at BYU as undergrads. We have raised four children here and are looking out to the future of Utah, like a lot of Utahns are, and thinking about what the next best steps may be. And as we've had discussions about that around the dinner table, both Sally and I and with our kids, this is something that we've considered just for the last year or so, stepping away from my businesses, stepping away from entrepreneurship, and looking at public service.
Sally, for you, when I never know how these things occur. I've heard so many different stories of that pivotal moment where somebody in the family goes, well, you ought to run, or somebody says, I think I will run. How did it work in your family?
Yeah, Jeff came to me one day and said, I think maybe I should think about running for governor. And it didn't surprise me, not because we've talked about it before, but because he's just that kind of a guy. He just goes for things when it comes to him, and it works out for him. And it's great. So I was fully supportive, and we talked about it more and more and more and thought about it for a long time. And finally came to the decision as a family that, yes, this is what we're doing next, is what we're doing.
I've heard this term several times and is so accurate. It's a family deal. I mean, it truly is. If you were to become the first family in the state of Utah, I mean, everybody's in the soup, you know, and there are big roles for the first lady, or the first spouse would be the proper term nowadays. And, you know, the kids are under a bit of a microscope, not like the national level, thankfully. You can still have a little bit of a life, but it's pretty dramatic. How old are your kids right now? And what did the kids say? I'll ask Sally about this one.
We have an 18-year-old. He's on a mission right now in California, and a 15-year-old son, a 12-year-old daughter, and an 8-year-old son. And I'm not sure at first they really knew what we were all getting into. But as time has gone on and they've come to a lot of events and public meetings, and I think they're excited about it. Yeah. And we're all learning a lot.
No dissenting vote?
No.
Everyone was unanimous.
Everyone was on board.
Yeah. All the kids were excited. They've come to a lot of the counties here in Utah, traveled with us, and been in a lot of meetings. Sometimes they'll be in a city council meeting or whatever and say, Dad, you know, this is boring. Let's move this along. You know? Is it time for dinner yet? Yeah. But no, they've been really excited. It's been fun for them. They're asking a lot of interesting questions. We're having a lot of good conversations in our home right now, Doug. We feel very mission-driven in our home right now, and excited to see what opportunities there are in public service for us and our family.
Right. And, you know, everybody to one degree or another in their life, whether they're the candidate or whether they're working on a campaign or whether they're just getting out the vote or they're raising money for something that is wonderful. There's a role in this for everyone. For those who might not be familiar, Jeff, give us a background. Entrepreneurial, that covers a whole lot of territory. What the heck do you do?
Yeah, I own several businesses in three areas: real estate, finance, and technology. My first business was in technology as an undergrad at BYU. I won the BYU Business Model Competition. This was in 2001, so 18 years ago. I'm 42 years old now. And so won the BYU Business Model Competition, had a great partner there that was a technology guy at BYU. We grew that business and sold it to a NASDAQ-listed firm. After that, I rolled the proceeds into real estate. This is in 03, 04, 05, when everyone was doing great in real estate.
Right.
You didn't have to even be good at it, and everyone was up and to the right. But what I realized and what I foresaw, and this is really where I found success in my career, Doug, is kind of seeing around corners, understanding markets. And I knew that the appreciation we were seeing in the real estate market was not sustainable. So I sold pre-correction most of the real estate assets.
So you were out by 2008 and 2009?
Yeah, I was out, almost all out, not completely, but almost all out, and gathered two of my best friends. These guys were good friends at BYU undergrad. They went on to get Ivy League MBAs and were working for real estate development firms, one in California, one in North Carolina. And we started talking about the opportunity to potentially buy distressed real estate in a correction. So we put together a firm called Peak Capital Partners. We've been recognized as one of the fastest growing businesses in Utah over the last 5, 6, 7, or 8 years. But the first couple years were really lean. Yeah. We sat together in a small office, much smaller than this, back to back to back, and read those scary headlines. And we didn't know if we would make it.
Yeah.
We didn't know if we'd succeed. But we turned it around and own a bunch of real estate. And to kind of finish up the story, when we had excess cash flow instead of no cash flow at all, we looked at each other in a partnership and said, what should we do with it? And I said, I know exactly what we should do with it. There is an oversupply of good entrepreneurs here in the state of Utah and an undersupply of good capital. Let's look back and invest in young, up-and-coming entrepreneurs in the state and try to help, you know, grow the economy and grow the business. So we stood up Utah County's first institutional venture fund. We've invested over $40 million in startups. Most of the startups along the Silicon Slopes or at the point of the mountain, our firm was the first investor in. So those entrepreneurs that we've invested in have created over 4,000 jobs in Utah in the last 5 years.
It's been great over the last couple of minutes to get to know you better and look over, you know, in the rearview mirror over our shoulder. When we come back, can I grill you on the future?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll do that with Jeff and Sally Birmingham, who are here in studio. Jeff is running for the governor's seat here in the state. So we'll take a brief break. We'll come right back. We're going to look to the future, maybe some of the pivotal things that he would like to accomplish if elected governor of our state.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Afternoon insights and analysis continue. Here's Doug Wright on KSL News Radio.
We're delighted to have Jeff and Sally Birmingham here in studio with us. Jeff is running for governor of the great state of Utah. If I recall, you're the very first to absolutely declare, right?
No, the lieutenant governor declared 6 months ago. We were
that's
on
right.
the Capitol steps about a month and a half ago.
That's right. Spencer Cox was the first to declare, and several have since then, and there are a lot of rumblings out there. Does that have any effect on what you're doing or strategy?
Yeah, it really does, and of course it's strategic. The interesting thing is I don't even view this, Doug, through a political lens. Because I'm not a politician, I haven't grown up in politics, that's not the lens I view this through. I view this through a leadership, problem-solving, and service lens. Yeah. So when I think about the issues at hand when in the state, as I think about where the state can go, as I think even about the election, my natural inclination is to look at it through those three lenses and not a political lens. So the answer to your question is not really. I think we need a robust debate here in Utah. It's an exciting time, no doubt. There's been a lot of growth. What is the best plan moving forward? In my opinion, this election will not be about yesterday's ideas or even today's status quo. It's all about the future of Utah, the youngest state in the country.
Yeah.
Who are we going to be and what are we going to be? Let's go. You know,
I always get a kick out of this, and I have an enormous respect for Jeb Bush, but often he comes to talk about education in Florida and making suggestions to Utah. Florida has the oldest population in the country. Yeah. We have the youngest, and I'm sure that the former governor and you know, I followed him on the campaign trail, and he is delightful. I have an enormous admiration for Jeb Bush. But, boy, sometimes you go, man, Florida's a whole different animal than
it
Utah.
Is. Yeah, every state is unique, right? And there's several things that make our state this be a very exciting time and a critical time for our state. And that's really why I'm in the race. I think it's important that we have an outside voice in this race. I'm not a career politician. I'm an outsider, an innovative outsider that's had been building the economy here in Utah firsthand for the last couple of decades. I'm not sure that will be a perspective that's brought by any other candidate. And so I think it's important to look at that and to, like I said, have a robust debate about ideas and the best plan for Utah going forward.
Often when somebody is mulling over something like this, whether they do it individually or after a spouse was included in family, sometimes there is that, you know, that balancing that's going on. And often it's that little thing that's dropped on the far end that tips you into it or out of it. What was there? Because sometimes it's a pothole issue with some people. Sometimes it's something that's been driving you nuts forever. Sometimes it's a particular goal. Whoa, and I'm going to ask Sally what that was. What was the prime moving tipping point for your husband, for your family, for him to run for governor?
I think the tipping point is just seeing that we need a plan in Utah, a smart plan for growth and for education and for all the things that are going on in our state right now. There are so many things happening. And Jeff has a background of having a vision and a plan and getting things done. And I think he just realized, hey, I can do something here. I can make a big difference and help mold and shape our state into an example for the rest of the country to follow.
Jeff, I'll ask you that same question. Was there that little issue that you kind of went, I've got a big pile over here, but man, this one's going to tip it.
Yeah, I think the issue was more of a bigger one. Again, an outside voice. The politicians that we've had at the Capitol are great people and have done a great job. In my opinion, the season of management in Utah is kind of fading. The season of leadership is upon us. We feel this as we drive up and down the freeways. We feel this as we look at affordability issues, at the growth of our economy. What is the best smart plan? So what tipped it for me was, if Utah is exciting for a bold new era where we can step into who we are, when we can seize the momentum that we've created, then I'm all in to try to help that. That's what's exciting to me, is the opportunities that are ahead of us.
Assuming for a moment you do become the next first couple of the state of Utah, what would be on the short list? What would be, okay, job one, day one?
Yeah, job one, day one, I think, is an audit of the state government and understanding costs. There's a lot of talk about tax right now and tax reform, as you know. We don't have a revenue problem in the state of Utah. We've been growing surpluses. Our entrepreneurs and the people of this great state have ensured that we don't have a revenue problem. But I worry that we may have a spending problem, that we may not be as efficient as we possibly could. So day one, job one, is to make sure that government is as efficient as possible. We need to make sure that our economy continues to rev. And to me, that's empowering entrepreneurs to continue to be innovative, not having government put its hand or weight on the scales, but allowing our people to innovate, to be free, to not hampering small business, but allow them to grow. And secondly, if I could say one other, education. We have four children that have all been publicly school educated. We need to, there is a mismatch, Doug, and I think it's the greatest risk to Utah, as I've traveled all around the state, all 29 counties. There is a mismatch between the jobs that actually exist and are coming and what and how our children are learning, K through 12. How do we innovate in education? I think there's the will of the people to do that in Utah, but it's going to take a bold leader with a bold plan and vision in order to affect some of that change.
I've moderated a lot of the discussions and or debates on that and even served on some of the commissions that have dealt with those very issues. And boy, first and foremost is to get pay to our teachers and make it an attractive way, even go upstream, maybe give incentives very early on somebody's education process with incentives and even with scholarships and so on, get them into the classroom and keep them into the classroom, but also to be able to have the gifted people that are teaching and are capable of inspiring in the very arenas you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Sally and I are in our children's classrooms often, right? And what we see are teachers that have lost a little bit of the twinkle in their eye. They've lost a little bit of the love of teaching. They love our children. They're some of the very best people in our state. But because they're micromanaged, because they're told how to do things, they've lost some of the joy. We need to make sure that our teachers are empowered in their classroom to teach. And I also think we need our parents to have choice in education. Choice creates competition, and competition creates better results. You understand that in the private sector. We need to bring that thinking to government, certainly to education and other areas like healthcare, et cetera. That's an important component of this election and one that I think Utahns should seriously consider.
There are some things that weren't even on the radar years ago. I can remember education always has been, hey, balancing the budget, all those types of things, promoting business. But there's something that is, if it's not number one on the list for many people right now, it's in the top three: Republicans, Democrats, everything in between, outsiders, and it's air quality.
Absolutely.
And boy, you know, when you think of it, air quality filters into about everything we talk about. Transportation, infrastructure, industry, you know, you name it, it all comes down. What about air quality? Because it is kind of nebulous.
Absolutely. And you nailed it right on the head, Doug. Again, if I would say that the number one risk factor is kind of K through 12 education and making sure our children are prepared, I'd say number two is air quality. It is a critical issue here in Utah. I believe in the people of Utah. I believe in the entrepreneurs of Utah. I believe that the best ideas will come from the private sector. The private sector solves problems. Let's empower our private sector and even incentivize them potentially to come up with the very best ideas for air quality. And then let's make sure that our government policy is aligned and incentivizing the types of behaviors that we know would help us have better air quality here in Utah.
Right. We could talk for a much longer period of time, but I've got this question. And for anybody who knows me, I have kind of one foot in rural Utah and one foot right here. I'm a native of Salt Lake, born and raised right here, born in Holy Cross Hospital back in the day, live in Holiday. A lot of people think I was born in Eureka. I was not. But I have a love of rural Utah. And when we traveled throughout the state of Utah, our listeners have heard me say this before, there was a message that came out loud and clear from our mayors, from our educators, from those on city councils, for those who were in business. And they said, we are so tired in rural Utah of being forced to export our children when they would prefer to stay here in Milford. They'd prefer to stay in Paiute County.
Absolutely.
That prefer to stay in Helper and Price. What do we do about rural Utah?
Yeah, as I've traveled the state, the greatest export from rural Utah is their children. These are the best and brightest that they have to export because of lack of economic diversification. Right. So rural Utah needs economic diversification. Let's elect a job-creating entrepreneur, such as myself, an innovative outsider that can apply some of the things that I've learned in the private sector and bring additional opportunity to rural Utah. And it's not just that, Doug. The heavy hand of the federal government is felt in rural Utah in a different way than we feel it here in urban Utah. I know rural Utah needs a fighter in their corner, and I intend to be that fighter. It's critical. We're one Utah. Urban and rural Utah, we're one Utah. We need to watch out for each other, and I think there are some exciting opportunities and things that we can do in rural Utah.
It's been fun to get to know you both.
It's been great to be with you.
Thank you so very, very much. Sally, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Jeff, nice to get to know
you a
little better. And there'll be more conversations.
Great, yeah, looking forward to it.
Undoubtedly. Thank you to Jeff and Sally Birmingham joining us. Jeff is declared for governor here in the state of Utah. Coming up next, we'll talk with David Litvak about some of the homeless issues here in our great state.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.